Kicking off the 5 o'clock hour here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan with a little baseball talk as our MLB insider Shai Davidi joins Pinder and Steinberg. Without Pinder and Steinberg, as Voice Guy said, it's Peter Klein and Logan Gordon with you today. Shai, how are you today?
I'm all right. What's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just gearing up for any kind of sports to come back. And I said before the break, it sounds like the Toronto Blue Jays are actually going to be the Toronto Blue Jays this year, as it's sounding more and more like Toronto is going to be the destination. This seems to be a story that's changing quite a bit, though. Well, what's the latest with the Blue Jays playing situation?
Well, Ontario Premier Doug Ford earlier today said that public health officials at the municipal, provincial, and federal level had essentially signed off on the Blue Jays' plan, but that the Blue Jays were still waiting for final federal government approval as it relates to the Quarantine Act to essentially launch this plan. So the Blue Jays are at the ready to begin arriving in Toronto. They have a charter flight from Dunedin to Toronto scheduled for Wednesday. They have a truck that's at the complex, all packed up with the gear, ready to make the drive down. They've got players chomping at the bit to start booking their travel and begin arriving. But none of that is happening just yet as they're waiting for the final go-ahead from the federal government.
It does really, I just get the sense from the outside, it does really sound like it would be a bit of an upset now if it wasn't in Toronto, though. Like, it does kind of seem like that's the strong lean at this point.
I mean, that was, you know, the perception that there was a point where the Blue Jays thought this would be done by the weekend, right? And the players, you know, some of their players had flights booked on Sunday and Monday. And, you know, the longer this goes on, I'm not sure what the delay is. Obviously, this is sensitive. And so not a lot of information is leaking out from this. Certainly, the situation in the United States is evolving rapidly and in many parts of the country, not for the better. So I don't think anybody's treating this as if it's a slam dunk. At this point, the Blue Jays want to be able to, one way or the other, just be ready to jump into action, whatever route it's going to be. But, you know, there is optimism, and, you know, they've gotten through a lot of this, and it really seems as if they're just at the finish line, but they're not there just yet. And for whatever reason, they're waiting to for the federal government to let them get across the goal line here.
Would plan B be Dunedin, or would recent events have Buffalo moving up to the top of that power rankings?
No, Buffalo just doesn't have the physical capacity to provide all the different needs that the Blue Jays would need. So if it is not going to be Toronto, it's going to be Dunedin. And, you know, that's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of people in the organization. You know, I think that there are some people who are not particularly enthralled with the idea of being in Florida right now. You can certainly understand why. The Blue Jays had the outbreak at the Dunedin facility about a week and a half ago. Obviously, their cases continue to rise in an alarming number. It's widespread in the community in the county which the Dunedin is located in, particularly among young people, which is the social demographic that most players would be in. So, you know, there's a lot of unease about that. But, you know, the Blue Jays are sort of out of options at this point. And so it really is Dunedin or bust. Toronto or Dunedin, and that's it.
As far as Toronto is concerned, how much does it help their case of saying that they could kind of contain it to their own kind of little bubble? How much does it help that there's a hotel essentially attached to the ballpark?
Yeah, I mean, that's pivotal because essentially what you're creating is that you're not saying, okay, we need you to let us skip the Quarantine Act and, you know, we're completely abandoning that. We're going to be in the community, yada, yada. You're just saying, hey, we just need you to, instead of just being confined to the place where we stay, be it a hotel room or a home, we just need to expand the umbrella to include the baseball field, which is connected to the hotel. So I think because of that, you can make the case that it doesn't pose a risk to the community or any more of a substantial risk to the community as opposed to allowing anyone else into the country. And I think that's probably what the crux of the case that has been made to the government is related to. It's just, you know, we're quarantining. We're just going to the ball field also. And so, you know, at that point, obviously the concern is to not have any spread to people who live in the community who are still working around the stadium. And, you know, that's probably some of the fine tuning that's happening to take place right now.
And I'm assuming that there's been a lot going on with baseball and their return to play. So I've missed this detail, but I'm assuming that as far as players just in their home city are concerned, it's basically just from home to the ballpark and that's it. That's basically all that's allowed.
Right. That's typically what's allowed. But the assumption, and again, I've seen some or I've heard some details, but I've not seen a full plan. You know, the assumption is that the Blue Jays may just base themselves out of the hotel all season. And so that rather than having people going to homes in the community, you know, it's a way for them to work to maintain the spirit of the Quarantine Act and sort of adhere to the precautions that the Quarantine Act is striving for without completely exposing people who haven't quarantined to the community. So, you know, I think that what is in place for the other 29 teams as of right now may end up being far stricter for what's in place for the Blue Jays.
Chatting with our MLB insider, Shai Davidi, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Peter Klein. He's Logan Gordon.
Shai, how you doing, man?
All right, Logan, what's going on?
Not much, brother. It's interesting, the Blue Jays released their club player pool, which I guess is going to be the new norm for this season, without any minor baseball really attached to this. Is that full roster of players going to be traveling with the team, or will they have a condensed roster that is there for game day and travel, and they'll just pick from those club that pool of players, if and when they need to?
So this is how it's going to work. So the opening day rosters are going to begin at up to 30 players. After 15 days into the season, that's going to go down to 28, and 29 days into the season, that's going to go down to 26. The other players will be, every team is going to have to set up what's called an alternative training site, and that's where the other players are in that player pool are to be based. And teams will, when they're traveling, be allowed to carry what's going to be called a taxi squad of three players, one of whom has to be a catcher. So that way, you know, if they're on a road trip, they always have protection in case there's an injury, and they don't have to necessarily scramble to fly somebody in, just because travel, of course, is a lot more difficult now than it usually is. And it's a way to ensure that players are remaining active and you're still maintaining some sort of semblance of normalcy around your roster. Because what the goal of the Major League Baseball protocol is to have as few people as possible in what's called the Tier 1. That's basically the team and all the essential coaches and training staff that are around them on a daily basis. They want to keep that as small as possible. So that setup allows them to achieve that goal.
For a guy like Nate Pearson, do you think there's going to be a bit of a change in development for a guy like him coming from the Jays now that, you know, Buffalo's not really an option? You can't really, you know, have him start in the minors and then work his way up with the big team. You think that changes for him where we'll probably see him, you know, if not on the opening day roster, pretty close to that when the season gets underway?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if he's not on the opening day roster, I'd expect the players' union to file a grievance, because there's really no excuse for him, you know, save for injury, to not be on the opening day roster. You know, he's about as close to big league ready as you could be, and he certainly looked like one of the most dominant pitchers, if not the most dominant pitcher on the staff during the first spring training. And, you know, at this point, when you're going to be carrying expanded rosters where, you know, there's really going to be no substantial or meaningful development opportunity at the alternative training site, you know, as a team, you can't make a case and say Nate Pearson is better off at the alternative training site as opposed to being on the big league club contributing real innings against major league players. So, you know, I think from a Blue Jays perspective, it's not ideal, because they could have hidden behind development as a reason for them to manipulate his service time, But you know, that option is sort of gone for them now. And I think if Nate Pearson isn't on the opening day roster, it'll be pretty transparent as to the reason why.
A bit of a bigger picture question for you. We got news today that a few of the major league players here have decided to opt out of playing this season, notably Ryan Zimmerman and Joe Ross of the Nationals, the defending World Series champions here. And with all due respect to both of those guys, they're not superstars, but they're serviceable MLB veterans that, you know, would have probably found their way onto an opening day roster like that. Would if every team were to lose a handful of guys like that, do you think this would be have a big impact on the season? We had the discussion before having you on, you know, about a potential domino effect if a big name guy like a Bellinger or a Mookie Betts decided that they weren't going to play. But if every team has to handle a loss of, you know, four or five MLB guys, what does that do to the season and the outlook for some of these teams heading into such a short season?
Yeah, I mean, that would not be good, right? Like, you know, if like a Mike Trout or a Clayton Kershaw said, yo, I'm out, that's going to dilute the quality of your season for sure. Thing is, you know, I mean, I don't know how many more. I've heard different things about, you know, numbers, or some people say, oh, a lot of guys are really considering this. And, I mean, I don't know. But ultimately, this is nothing about this season is going to be normal. Nothing about this season is going to be perfect, right? Like, if they manage to get to pull this off and complete it, whatever it looks like, that'll be an achievement and a notable achievement. So I think that it obviously would dilute the quality of the product. It would change the look of, you know, the competitive balance and things of that nature. But, you know, I think we've maybe talked about this in the past. I know I've mentioned this to some other people, but, you know, everyone who's running to attach an asterisk to whatever happens in sports this season, I mean, like, everything in our world right now is an asterisk, right? Like, anything that you manage to pull off is an accomplishment under the circumstances we're all working under. So, you know, I think you don't want that to happen, but you understand if people have the means. Like, Ryan Zimmerman, he's made his money. He's won his World Series. He's got a pretty good legacy. He's been a major player in Washington. Mike Leake, who also opted out, you know, he's had a solid career. He's been a good big leaguer. You know, those guys, they don't need the risk, right? If you've got if you've got something to take care of with your family at home, you know, that makes sense, and no one should begrudge them. So, you know, whatever ends up happening, I think you can understand it and accept it. And I don't think that we can't let, you know, perfect be the enemy of good here. You know, whatever all these sports leagues manage to pull off, that will be a monumental feat.
Chatting with our MLB insider, Shai Davidi. As far as the coverage is concerned, I'm assuming you guys will have to be doing that remotely this year. Like, you won't be traveling to Dunedin or anything like that, eh?
I don't know that definitively, but as of right now, there's going to be no face-to-face access to players, so everything could be done via remotely. I believe there will be some access to facilities, but media will be kept at a distance. And, you know, I think our planning is evolving as everything else is.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. I do want to double back to the summer camp, which apparently has a sponsor. So, I mean, good for them. But as far as summer camp is concerned, a few non-roster invitees, was any names stood out to you or any surprises or anything like that with the players that the Blue Jays are bringing in?
Well, I mean, they did what a handful of teams have been doing, which is including some of the prospects from the team's top prospect from the lower levels of the farm system, guys that, you know, in all likelihood aren't going to factor into the big league club this year. So for the Blue Jays, that would be someone like infielder Jordan Groshans, who I think is coming quick, but this year is not in any sort of likelihood. Alec Manoah, the first rounder, right-hander from last year. Simeon Woods Richardson, one of the guys that they picked up in the Marcus Stroman trade. There are a handful of some of their better prospects, but they're young guys. And this is, you know, this was a way for the Blue Jays to make sure those guys are getting some development, because really for a lot of those players, this is what getting on the field as 2020 is going to be. This was their sole option. So they'll work out at the alternative training site all summer, you know, manage to play some sort of baseball, manage to get on the field in some way, shape, or form. And that's going to be the best development they can offer on, in that regard. And that was interesting to see the Blue Jays do that. The other element of interest was that the Blue Jays left two of the 60 spots open on the player pool roster. And one of them you would think will go to Austin Martin, the fifth overall pick in the draft. And the other one gives them a little bit of flexibility. So maybe there's something that they're seeing on the open market. Maybe they hope to try to pull off a trade or look for something on waivers at some point. But they've built in a little flexibility for themselves as well.
It's easy to forget that there was a draft not long ago, and there's still a pretty high profile prospect to be signed by the Blue Jays. Well, what is the latest you're hearing on Austin Martin?
I haven't heard much, to be honest. I've been sort of locked in on where they're going to play that I haven't been able to chase that as much as I would have liked. But the reality is there's not much upside for Austin Martin to not sign and go back into the draft. You know, it's pretty clear what his signing number is going to look like. You know, the Blue Jays have a little bit of extra money to work with. They can potentially push it up depending on what happens with their fourth rounder pick, Nick Frasso. He's yet to sign as well. So, you know, those are the two pieces, but I think those are going to fall into place over time. They've got until August 1st to get that done. And I think ultimately, once you know, the alternative training site is settled definitively and the Blue Jays' home for 2020 is settled definitively, I wouldn't be surprised if that piece falls in line relatively quickly afterwards.
With summer camp, how much competition do you think there will be? Like, obviously, I'm not expecting an Austin Martin to win a job, but like, how much of summer camp will be position battles and stuff we're used to with a regular spring training, and how much of it'll just be just get ready and get out there?
I think there's going to be some of that, but you know, for the guys on the fringes of the roster, you know, there's going to be a lot more players who are starting the season with the team, right? So at the end of spring training, we were looking at whether or not Anthony Alford or Derek Fisher was going to make the team as the extra outfielder. And now both those guys are going to come. And right now there's a pathway for Caleb Joseph to join the team as a third catcher. And the club has room to carry three catchers, at least for a period of time. And maybe because of the work, they may want to do that for an extended period. So I think there's going to be more open competition there, and they're going to carry a lot of arms. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw the Blue Jays with, you know, 16 or 17 pitchers, maybe even more, to start the season right out of the gate. And, you know, we're, you know, trying to put together a bullpen beforehand, but, you know, there are a lot of guys who are going to find their way onto the team right now, just because the team's going to want to protect itself and make sure that it has enough guys to soak up innings and keep everybody's arm as safe as possible too. So there's going to be a substantial amount of competition, but it's going to be more in the latter part of the roster on the back end.
Shai, just another one as it opposed to the season getting underway here. We know July 23rd or 24th is opening day. Do we have an idea of what the day-to-day is going to look like from a schedule standpoint? Are we going to see games starting early morning and running into later time zones to try to get all these games in? Are they talking doubleheaders? I haven't heard much of that. I'm just curious if you've heard anything on that front.
No, the doubleheader stuff, that didn't end up being part of the final proposal. And I believe they're looking at something like 60 games over 66 days. Something along those lines. I might have my numbers off slightly, but it's not like sort of the NHL idea where, you know, you're having multiple games per day and each one is being spaced out. It's going to be by and large sort of a normal schedule that teams are going to play, and they'll have to accommodate whatever health issues or health regulations might be in place in a given community. But by and large, it'll be a normal baseball schedule. But be interesting to see what happens with the postseason and whether, you know, they have to make some adjustments there should the big league season actually get to that point.
Do you know if and when we might actually see a firm schedule of opponents and dates. Is that still in the works?
Well, there are versions of the schedule that have been put together and are approved, but there are a lot of moving parts. I mean, one, you know, Toronto for one, still isn't sure where it's going to be playing, and whether that's in Toronto or Dunedin, so certainly that's an issue. And there are other clubs who have their own uncertainties, and, you know, you look at the situation from a health perspective in, you know, places like Texas and Florida and California and Arizona, and, you know, it's theoretically possible that those teams are going to have to find somewhere else to play if the spread continues in those communities as rampantly as it is right now. So, you know, I think that this is a schedule that has a lot of moving parts, and that is one of the reasons why it's taking. We still have yet to see a version of it.
A couple more here with Shai Davidi, our MLB insider. You mentioned that the Blue Jays bringing just an absolute boatload of relievers, and that kind of has me thinking a little bit, because normally teams stick to pretty strict pitch counts and innings limits for some players. I can't imagine an innings limit is going to be much of an issue in a season that's only 60 games. How do you think having a sprint to the finish type season will affect the utilization of bullpens and things of that nature?
So it's funny because, you know, usually you think about work limits, but as being the main threat to the health of pitchers. But I look at it more in terms of the amount of stressful innings that guys could potentially be throwing now, right? Because, you know, the old maxim in baseball or axiom in baseball is, hey, you know, like there's always another day tomorrow. This is a marathon and not a sprint. But this is different. This is a sprint, right? And you have to jump in right away and you have to hit the ground running, because if you get off to a slow start, you know, if you come out of the gate, you know, 3-7 or something, good chance your season's over. So I think that they're going to have to monitor guys for the amount of stress that they're putting on their arms. I wonder if that we're going to see more max effort pitching than we might normally. And, you know, coming out of the gate after a shortened spring training with this weird stop and start that's been taking place since spring training, the first version back in February, March. You know, I think that pitcher health is going to be something that is going to have to be closely monitored, but the risk isn't going to necessarily come from workload. It'll come from, you know, maybe overexertion or guys not being fully ready or prepared the way they normally would.
Shai, this was awesome, man. Thanks for doing this today. I really appreciate it. I know there's a lot of moving parts in your world right now, so thank you for doing this.
Thanks, Shai.
No problem, guys. Take care, fellas.